Technorama, episode 515, Flynn's Arcade.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I need to make some change. Where's the machine that dispenses quarters for gold press latinum?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Woohoo! Unfasten the seatbelts!
Raise the roof!
There's no safety rules.
No safety rules.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, viewer, whatever you're doing, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, spelled with a T, ends with an I.
As opposed to...
Doesn't rhyme with anything. Don't worry about it. Also joining me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm just peachy.
Is that a southern thing? You like peaches, right?
Yeah, I love peaches.
The enthusiasm in which I'm just peachy.
I'm just peachy.
Also joining us in the binary studio in Phoenix are the dynamic duo we call the TG Geeks. One of them. One of them's over there doing the Craig dance.
I'm just peachy.
He's just peachy.
We're going to call you that for the rest of the night now. Just peachy.
Hey, peachy.
Hey, peachy.
And running the auxiliary sound effects.
Oh, yes. That's Keith.
Keith, we need to adjust your camera just a little bit.
It's like you're in the villain's lair of a Batman episode.
Take two steps to the right. You're left.
I'm loving it.
Hey, by the way, I'm seeing the delayed video. I just saw the Craig dance doing the peachy thing.
Let's see. How am I now?
Did
we just have a Norwegian experience?
A Norwegian experience, yes, very much so.
Is that better?
Very good. Okay. I like it.
All right.
We will be talking about the Orville if you missed that reference in there. We have some feedback this week. I love it. Letters. And more letters. Men of letters.
I'll buy a tea.
Do the dance, Craig.
Those letters, I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. I so want an animated GIF of that now. I'm going to make one.
You know what? We're going to look like, what was that? The thing with the elves. The elves are dancing.
I'm going to make an animated GIF of the four of us doing that crazy dance, and it is going to make me laugh every time. That's priceless. Our question of the week last week was, how much of your body would you cybernetically enhance if you could? I'm thinking the parts that wear out first.
Yeah.
Like my knees, my elbows, my lower back.
I would probably start with my big toe, and that's it.
The big toe. The big arthritic one.
Yes.
Scott Tyler writes us and says, that's a dangerous question.
Very dangerous.
Which is very dangerous. Yeah. You know where he was going with that. He was going to the PG-13 section, I think.
Maybe the...
Our friend,
further than PG-13.
Our friend Eric Alexander says, none. But if I lost my limbs, I would like super-powered robot arms and legs. LOL.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that phrase made me think of Cat Stevens' song Moonshadow. If I ever lost my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. You don't remember that? You're not a Cat Stevens fan?
I don't remember that line.
Yeah. If I ever lost my mouth, all my teeth, north and south.
Oh.
If I ever lost my mouth, I want to. Okay, right. Never mind.
Are you sure that's not misheard lyrics?
Right.
There's excuse a me, well, like, yeah. And we could go on for that for another hour.
Yeah.
John Miller Jr. writes, I'll take a full body enhancement, super strength, bulletproof, don't need to sleep or breathe, and powered by Linux. I'd be unstoppable.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, I'd hate the idea if it were powered by Windows,
man. Oh, my God.
Too many blue screens of death.
Yeah. We'll just
warning.
John Miller Jr. was in a car accident because he crashed.
His superpower name, his superhero name is going to be Raspberry Pi. <There
you go>. He's also a fan of Raspberry Pi. Yeah,
that's right. Weber Baker says, I'd be happy just to get my knees back like they were 20 years ago, let alone enhanced. No, I'm with you. Well, fortunately, that technology does exist today.
Yeah? The knees?
My dad had it done on both of his knees. He had one done like when he was in his late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, wow.
He had like...
Holy moly.
No, not the replacement. This was kind where they used to rip both sides of the knee open and went in there. And it was always swelled up and he had stitches down both sides. Yeah, it was
nasty.
Where
they made it a hinge.
Yeah.
But he had it redone later in his 60s or 70s and said, I love it.
Yeah.
So,
that was back in the day when they used to put piano hinges in there.
Yeah. Wooden pegs.
Just call it peg leg.
What would you enhance? I mean, aside from replacing the worn out parts, like, you know, most of us would do, vision and hearing would be good enhancements. Yeah, I would think
vision and hearing would be good.
I would get cybernetic buttocks. Well, for no particular reason except to see people's reactions when I tell them that.
I've got buns of steel.
That's right.
Buns of steel.
Mine are titanium.
Buns? You've got buns?
Buns?
You've got buns and you didn't tell me? I'm sorry.
So Craig, what was your answer?
I was joking. I said I would start with my big toe.
You'd start there. What else would you get?
Yeah, you know, for stability. Your toes can give you stability.
Oh, so you'd have big frog feet is what you're saying.
I'll be like a... What's his name on Undiscovered Country where they're looking for the boots?
Yeah, the ski boots. Ah. Yeah. If the shoe fits,
I need that guy's eye.
Eyes up here.
Keith, what would you get enhanced?
Eyes and hearing, for sure. And the knees.
Super strength kung fu grip.
So I can open the jars like I used to.
How about your back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think actually I would go for my respiratory and including the heart.
Cardiovascular would be really nice.
Oh, just pull my brain out of my body and stick it in an Android one. Then I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Would you be happy? I don't know that I would. I mean.
I am fully functional.
Yes, but Dan didn't have sensation on his skin.
Yeah, that's true.
Until the board gave them that. Yep. And that was one thing that I was wondering about.
Ford gave him that?
Huh?
Ford gave him that?
Yeah, Ford.
Hey, by the way, I was just
that's why it crashed.
I could just see Ben telling somebody to kiss his shiny metal ass.
Yeah. I'm going to start using that from now on. Thank you. I like that one.
I like it. It's not too late to give us your answer, dear listener. If you're listening to this, send us an email, Where the hell are we anymore? Technorama at chuckchat.com.
There we go.
That's it.
Flash it up on the screen so you
can
read it.
Thank you. It's right there on the screen. Or call us on the listener line, 707-530-2424.
Oh, dear.
It's right there. I can read it. Okay, everybody got their 20-sided die?
1 second.
1 second. Come on. Follow along with the show notes.
I got it right here.
Okay. We have to determine what order we're going in for on this day in history. It's not a long one today.
Are we rolling a three?
Yes, you roll a d4. See how you do with
that.
Yeah,
there we go.
Okay, I want to roll again.
No seconds.
No seconds unless
no do-overs.
I got 11.
I got 11.
I got 16. A
whopping two.
A two.
Okay,
so why don't we do it?
Oh.
Craig.
Craig, did you get that, Craig?
What?
Ben, Keith, Chuck, Craig.
I'm last. Okay.
On this day.
There we go. He's practicing already. I
love it. Pity, because I would have looked over how it's saying Magellan.
I do the intro. On this day in history for September 20th, 2017, this is the 263rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 102 days left in 2017.
It was on this date in 1519 that Ferdinand and Magellan.
The heck is that?
That's Craig.
Craig's Revenge set sail from San Lucar de Barrameda with about 270 men on his expedition to circumnavigate the globe.
Oh, we have a Russian isn't name in there for you.
Isn't that a surgical procedure?
Yes, that little boys get. They get their globe circumnavigated.
Yeah. The American Association for the Advancement of Science is created on this date in 1848.
It was also on this date in 1893 that Charles Dreyer and his brother road test the first American-made gasoline-powered automobile.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Go for it.
Brace yourselves. Also on this date in September 20th, 1906, Cunard Line's RMS Mertiana is launched at the Swan Hunter and Wigham Richardson Shipyard in Newcastle upon Tyne, England.
Wow.
Very good.
Close enough, we're going to let him wow. go.
71 Whatever. Years ago today, the first Cannes Film Festival is held, having been delayed 7 years due to World War II.
Yay. So that would have made it 1946 that it finally came back.
RMS Queen Elizabeth II is launched at John Brown & Company in Clydebank, Scotland on this date in 1967.
Didn't you think the QE2 was older than that?
Yeah, I did.
I did also.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Oh, I get the Russian guy. No, happy no. birthday goes out in this date to Russian Admiral, cartographer, and explorer Fabian Gottlieb von Bellingshausen. That does not sound like a Russian name.
No, it doesn't. Sounds more German.
Born in his state in 1778.
Scottish-English chemist and physicist James Dwyer is born 175 years ago today.
It is born. Notice that.
It is born.
Yeah, yeah, is born.
Is born, was born.
Yeah. Carlton Ellis, the American inventor and chemist, was born 141 years ago today.
Vera Fadeva. Fadeva. Russian mathematician was born on this date in 1906.
Fadeva, Andrei, Andrei.
Yes, exactly.
Also born this same date in 1934, Italian actress Sophia Loren.
Also turning 69 today is American novelist and short story writer George R. Martin.
R. Martin.
What do you mean I got it right?
R. Martin. American actor and director Peter Scolari, born on this date in 1955.
Yeah. Lots of other birthdays this week, too. Interesting.
Including my sister.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do those.
Oh, your birthday.
Happy birthday to a lot of listeners and family members.
I thought, normally you do this.
September 20th. Oh, we were going around the table. I didn't know. Maybe we'll break with tradition. September 20th is the birthday of Marilyn Taylor, who is my older sister. Joel Harper, a.k.a. Rincewind from Milwaukee, on the 20th. Joel Rickenbach, deceased. Oh, we're starting to have some deceased harsh. Members in our audience. And also on the 20th, Leanne McBride, local Phoenix, former podcaster. Dean Jensen is on the 21st, along with Charles McFall, whom we just saw at Dragon Con. Charlie Kavanaugh Toft, who I believe was Charlie the Beer Guy once upon a day.
That's right.
It's on the 21st. The 22nd is Matthew Jarks. I'm glad he has it phonetically spelled for us.
Jarks.
Also, a friend of the show, Mike Stockman, on the 24th, the 26th, Brett from Wales, and our good friend from Ireland, Kian McMahon. Happy birthday to all of you. How much music we have? Way too much.
I hope that Joel Rickenbach didn't actually update his profile by himself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, a spiritual wiki. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, let us know. We will send you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Just go to chuckchat.com/wiki. And yeah, it's pretty much open to edit. We have people putting their wives, their anniversaries, their kids. We'll help you remember.
We've got their dog in there, I think.
I have an old dead iPod in there somewhere, too.
That's right. That's right.
It's Technorama. Let it go.
The day the music died.
It's not dead yet.
Not yet. No, but we're going to kill it.
There's plenty of life.
Yeah, it's a minute and a half left, but we're not going to sit here and...
We don't have enough.
I told you it was a short one
today. That'll be the day the host died then.
Yeah.
All right. What do we have in the news? We have some bad news, so we better play the bad news one.
Bad news.
Fancy men.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Uh-oh.
Bad news, because Cassini, as you're all well aware, if you've been following the science news, Cassini, the craft that was orbiting Saturn, has finally come to its doom as of last Friday morning.
The crap that was...
It was a 20-year mission? It was a 20-year mission. Long time. Mm-hmm. I did see one little comic that had Cassini saying, I'm going in, bro. This is my final mission. Hang in there with me. I don't think I'm going to make it back. And they're going from panel to panel. And on the last one, I said, oh, my feet are getting really hot. And you see the Mars rover looking up like, Cassini?
Cassini?
It was sad.
How sad.
They were pen pals.
Now, if the Mars rover sings happy birthday to Cassini on Cassini's birthday.
I thought it was really interesting the way that they ended this mission. It made 22 flyby orbits, and it was a severely elliptical orbit, taking it between the planet and the rings at its closest approach, which is why it was going like 76,000 miles an hour. And then would swing way out close to Titan, enough for Titan to have a gravitational effect. And that it did this 22 times. And on the last one, Titan gave it just enough tweak to say, not going to make it the next one. And it went.
Wow.
So
and just plunged right in there.
Oh, the animations cool. and things, if you go over to jpl.nasa.gov, actually saturn.jpl.nasa.gov, they've got a lot of great stories about how the mission went and the videos of the scientists that had a sign off on this whole thing. It's
and
been
the
really
photos
fun.
And the photos are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cool. They actually flew, what was it within, I'm trying to remember the, I can't remember how close it was, but to like Titan, close enough to like get some ground shots. It was amazing, some of the photos.
Well, no, Cassini probably didn't do that because of the cloud cover, but they did years ago. They did drop Huygens probe down to Titan.
That's true. No, they one of the moons they got picture of the surface as they went by when they were making this approach.
What color was it?
I saw a black and white picture. I don't know.
Well, it could have been Enceladus. Enceladus is black and white.
Yeah.
All right. It really cool stuff. We are going to miss that. We learned a lot, and they're probably going to be crunching data from that mission for years.
No
years
kidding.
And years.
Very cool. I remember when what was it? The Pioneer first went by Saturn. The first Pioneer.
Oh, yeah.
When we were much, much younger. And space.
Well, that was a big deal. I remember the science books that were being published at the time. And I had some astronomy books as a kid and showed me some of those pictures. And that was like just amazing stuff to look at.
It was the first time we've actually been there.
Right.
As opposed to looking way out there and seeing these blurry photos.
Or an artist's conception as to what Saturn might look like, you know. Because I've seen a lot of that growing up, too. But now to actually get photos, even when they were black and white, it was this is a photo.
Yeah. And some of the science that we've learned is stranger than science fiction that we ever made up. That's the cool thing. Aside from, people walking around in their moon suits and whatnot.
Where's V'ger now?
I'm going to do conspiracy theory and say Cassini didn't really die. It's going to be the next V'ger.
Ah, it'll be V'ger. Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it's going to
it wasn't the Voyager. It was Cassini.
Voyager. Yeah, Voyager's like out in interstellar space now.
It didn't get captured by a robot society. It got captured by the Pastafarians, and now Cassini is going to be a dish on the menu.
Exactly.
That was cool. So that just happened.
Yeah.
More bad news for you if you were looking to get one of the ultimate collector's series of Star Wars Legos, the Millennium Falcon is sold out.
And what's amazing is it hadn't even gone on sale yet. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, that sounds a bit like scalpers or something.
It was supposed to go on sale, October 31st? I think that's what it said.
Yeah, but why don't you go ahead, read the story.
Yeah, despite going on sale online, I guess it did go on sale already. So despite going on sale online at 7:30 a.m., on September 14th is when this article was put out there. It says, and the high price tag was like $800.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's insane.
The Lego Star Wars Ultimate Collector Series Millennium Falcon has already sold out in most Lego brand stores. The incredible new set is the largest ever produced by Lego, and it seems to capture the attention of both Lego and Star Wars fans alike. Lego will feverishly be working to produce more of them, I'm sure. So stay tuned for more details. By the way, this thing has over 7,500 bricks.
Overtime.
Has over what?
7,500 pieces.
Gee, that'll take Christmas. You a while to assemble.
No, thank you.
If you go over to YouTube and go to the Tesla channel, Adam Savage's website,
yeah.
They have a website channel, and they had a time-lapse video of them putting one together.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And it took, between four of them, it took them 12 hours,
gee.
Which is like a kind of a record, but there was four stations going around.
I got to play with Legos as part of my job last week.
I saw that.
We went to San Diego, and we had this little one-day meetup called CreatorCon. And one of our CreatorCon things is a Lego train set driven by our software. So you go online and you pull up the catalog and you say, I want to order some cargo. And it would send a command off to a Raspberry Pi, which had a BrickPi daughter board attached to it that controlled the motors and sensors and whatnot. And the Lego train would start moving around the track and the conveyor would come down and load up cargo and whatnot. That's what I did all day, just played with Legos. Only there was a little glitch in the software.
Oops. So did you have to go debug it?
That occasionally, if the train was driven by infrared, and it didn't always get the right signal on the track at the right place, we had the infrared hand controller suspended. It was duct tape and wired
up.
It was great. It looked really professional. But it didn't always get the signal, and it would say, you know, increase your speed by 10 or whatever it was. And then if it missed that, it would later say, increase your speed by 10. And I had this train going around the track a little too fast.
Whoops.
It went around twice, okay, but on the third lap, it flew off the track, flew off the table, hit the deck, and exploded.
I want that on video.
What did you do? You pulled a Gomez Adams?
We were on a deck next to the water.
Oh, dear.
Fortunately, none of the pieces went in the water. We were able to fully reassemble the locomotive. It was a beautiful moment. But that
you pulled a Gomez Adams, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The other catalog item was, I want to go to the carnival, and we had a Lego Ferris wheel on the same table.
Oh, cool.
That we just kept running the whole time.
And it fell off, and it rolled off and hit a dog, and it...
No, I just want to see that thing spin so fast that the cars fly right off the wheel.
The ice cream cone is flying out of the little girl's hand. The little carriages are inverted as they go over the top.
Children are being flung out.
Those are fun. Half inspired me to go get a little a Raspberry Pi and a Brick Pi just to do that. Yeah. But that had thousands of pieces in it as well.
Yeah, this thing is huge. By the way, they take them... Or when they actually unboxed it. So you open up the big box, and it has four section boxes inside.
Wow.
And each section has all the pieces, and you have to lay them out. And the picture of them just laying them out was amazing. There's so many of them, I couldn't believe it. The little packets. And then one website, the guy said, I forgot one piece in a previous step, and it took him an hour to go back and put it in
because
he had to remove it. The book, I would not believe, I cannot believe how thick that book was. They called it a Chihuahua killer on the test.
Yeah. As big as
if that fell off the table.
Car book.
Yeah. Car and manual. By the way, the set does look like it comes with the square deflector dish as opposed to just the round one. So you can swap them out if you wanted to go, new series or old series.
Okay. Hmm. But they're sold out. Are they making more?
Yeah, they are. It said at the bottom, I'm sure they're feverishly producing more.
Okay.
So there's a lot of pieces they mentioned in here that are very custom, but Lego's styled, but pieces that you just normally see in Lego sets, obviously to make it a little more Falcon-esque. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right.
$800. I don't think I can get my wife to sign off on that.
No, not unless
$7.99.
It has some way to advance your career.
No, I wouldn't. We couldn't have that anyway. We have cats.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. They would see the half-assembled thing and start batting the pieces off the table.
Well, oh, pieces piece we go. Would never see again until, yeah. well, until maybe after the sun burned out.
Yeah. We got a new piece of furniture. Oh, that's where all that stuff was.
We should really clean under there a little more often. Yeah. Or move.
Yeah.
All right. One of these two gentlemen can take our next story because you have Apple products and you might be interested in this. You guys want to flip for it, roll for it? What do you want to do?
It's up to you.
Oh, I'll take it.
Okay.
Okay, so the Apple has announced that the Apple Store is dead. D-O-D-E-D, dead.
We're racing for the sound effects right now.
From now on, the new locations for the retail outlets will officially be dubbed Town Squares.
All right.
Why know if that's not Town Circles? I mean, you know, like kind of model after like the mothership, you know, make it round and everything. I mean, because round is nice. Anyway, the curious rebranding was announced by the company's senior vice president, Angela Arends. Arends.
We'll go with Arends.
Arends. Craig, how's that pronounced, please?
Arends.
I refuse to answer.
It could be Arends.
Arends. Yes, yeah. Arends. And this is during the launch event for the new iPhones. The name change is part of an overhaul of the stores to make them more welcoming or pretentious, depending on your perspective.
Did you write that?
It sounds like something I would have written.
It sounds like
I didn't know.
Is this along the same lines as those little? What's the Silicon startup that got all the press this week for the little shops?
The bodegas.
Oh, bodegas, yeah. Yes.
Bodegas.
Bodegas.
Sounds like an article of clothing.
Yeah.
I want to say it does seem a little weird. They want to rebrand them as Town Squares because I mean.
Well, it sort of made sense when you watch the keynote address yeah. and the way they were describing it. But like for here in Phoenix, I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous because
yeah.
we don't have any stores that are like that.
Well, we don't have Scottsdale stores that are big enough. There's the Arrowhead Mall store, and there's a third one.
Yeah, the one at Fashion Square or Biltmore yeah. Fashion Park.
Right. And
they're those not don't big jump.
There's no room.
They're in a mall. They don't jump out at me as right. a town square well, kind of thing.
Well, some of the Apple stores are in malls.
Right. The Town Square stores look like they're gigantic.
Like standalones.
Stores. Yeah. And they're enormous and they have lots of space in them to do the different tech things that they
And those
do.
Kinds of stores are very prevalent outside of the U.S. I mean, we have a few here in the States, but you know, you go to like, you know, China or go to some of the stores in Europe or Japan. I mean, those yeah. things are in buildings that are just massive. So they've got plenty of room there.
Yeah, there's one in Chicago that's got a theater upstairs that I've been right. to.
I've been to the one in New York. I thought it was a pretty cool store.
Yeah, that's a nice store.
The one on Fifth mm-hmm. Avenue there.
Yeah.
And they're actually, weren't they remodeling that? I think they're yeah. closing it, remodeling
they
that.
They are, and they're bringing back the glass cube.
The glass cube is back.
It's, oh, by the way. It's our version of the Louvre.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, exactly. This just in, Walmart wants their stores to be known as City Halls. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And Dunkin' Donuts is rebranding as police stations.
Ooh.
We've got the city covered now.
That's right.
Yep, I'm in marketing now.
Yeah, you can think out. These things up now.
I'm an idea man. What can I say?
There you go. Yeah.
We're going to take that as a cue for a break now. We'll be back with a, we got to remember when in a couple of geek libraries. Stick around. We will be right back. Interested in starting a podcast? Then be sure to attend PIY 2017. PIY is the Podcast It Yourself Workshop, October 28th in Phoenix, Arizona. Learn about software, hardware, accessories, best practices, and more to make your podcast rock. Need more information? We'll have the authors of Podcasting for Dummies 3rd Edition, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi, on hand to answer questions and sign books. Spaces are limited, so go to podcastingfordummies.com and sign up for PIY 2017. We look forward to seeing you there.
Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Isn't he dead?
He is. He will be missed, but we still have an audio clip to remember him by. Want to give a shout out to the chat room?
That was Keith.
I know, but I am so triggered. That's Craig's text message sound. I am so programmed.
I saw your head turn.
I went, that was the, where's my phone? Why would he be texting me?
Yeah, what's bothering me right now?
Sorry about that.
You got me. You got me.
I have a few of those.
That is a conditioned response.
I have a few of those text tones too. It's like, what?
Yeah, when someone else uses it for their ringtone, like, there's only so many. That's why I try to, you know, pull stuff out of songs and whatnot. Exactly. I use something very abnormal.
Abnormal.
Shout out to the chat room. We have a number of people watching us live on Facebook tonight. Hey, we have John Miller Jr., Tim Elliott, Melissa Bartell joined us for a little while, Scott Tyler, Lisa Lubaca Pullman. Oh, there's an old name from the blast from the past.
Wait, Scott Tyler's like down the road from you. Why don't you just
like 30 minutes down the road.
Oh, is it that far?
Yeah, he's in Levine.
Levine? My, that's way out there.
Gary Lindros, JT Shea. Doing? We've got a bunch of them in there. Thank you for joining us. We are live on Sunday nights, coming to you on Facebook, 6:30. Pacific time, well, you guys will all be changing your clock, so let's stick with the Eastern thing. 9:30 Eastern, 9:30 we'll Eastern. Always keep it that way.
Not until, like, November.
No. It's in October.
October is when everybody else changes,
everybody else changes.
Right, so we get an extra hour to eat dinner. We'll start at 7:30.
Instead of
winter schedule.
Yes.
They mean the not blazing hot schedule.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's November 3rd.
No, it's I don't know.
I don't have to care anymore. You know, I live in Phoenix.
I have to care because of work.
Right, yeah, you got to know when everybody else moves.
Well, you got to care only because of November, Craig.
Right.
It's November 5th.
That's right. First week mark of November. Your calendars.
But they did back it the other way into March. Yes.
March
sometime.
12th.
So is it
March
spring 12th. Backward and fall forward?
Yeah, close. You keep it's working March on 12th that.
Of that's how November it happens 5th. To me.
That's how it happens in Phoenix. Everybody else is springing around us like jackrabbits.
And y'all can pick on me about it, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't really care.
I know you don't.
I'm gonna wake up the same time. I'm gonna go to sleep the same time.
Right. So why are we even bothering? It's a pointless thing
for everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someday when I get to be emperor of the world.
We'll do away with daylight
savings. And everybody
time.
Will just go by UTC.
Wait a minute. If you're the emperor of the world, we got bigger things to worry about.
Hey, can't be worse than the guy we got in the White House now.
I wasn't going to say.
Well, okay, we're not going politics.
No,
moving right along. Was that a feedback tone?
Yes.
Now you got me conditioned for church. We have a chronic feedback issue. Yeah.
That was a mic drop.
I could hear the drop at the end. All right. And remember when we have somebody who found a Michael Jackson Moonwalker cartridge.
Oh, my God.
This is a video game. I don't know if this was actually ever released.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think it is. Or if it is, this is a pre-production sample.
It is. A collector says he found a cartridge of Michael Jackson's Moonwalker for the Sega Genesis, in which the King of Pop's Thriller apparently left out of the game because of licensing issues or similar reasons, accompanies the second board of the game's third stage. Hmm. The video was uploaded yesterday. It shows Jackson in his smooth criminal getup getting down to a Thriller chiptune as he karate kicks the zombies. That's not a karate kick. That's his traditional, you know, dance kick.
Ow!
Yeah.
And what's funny is that when the game's loading, it has an avatar and he goes, woo!
Well, that's what he says all through the game, and he's beating the bushes for kids. This is the object. You kick the zombies and you beat the bushes, and every once in a while a kid comes out, Michael, and runs away. I do not understand this game.
Okay.
You cannot make this up.
It's got wrong written all over it. Seven levels of it, I tell you. The original music for Stage 3-2 was Another Part of Me. According to the poster, the cartridge was found at a flea market for $20. Some Redditors challenged its validity or veracity or... anyway, wondering if it's a bootleg cart with a custom ROM. No, insists the poster. It's a pre-production with EPROMs.
Wow.
This thing is real. He provided this image of the cart and its label dated 4/24/1990.
Wow.
The collecting subreddit references this cart, which we link through our show notes, or at least a description of it. 2 years ago, my mouse just kind of froze up here, yeah. Boys.
It does say pre-production sample.
My battery Jackson's guy? Haunting your mouth.
That's right.
Of Sega of America.
From what I can gather online, there is a copy of Revo-O that includes Thriller in the graveyard scenes when triggering Michael Jackson's dance move. A post on GameFAQs 7 years ago acknowledged the different versions. If my mouse is in fact dying, I'm going to need some batteries.
Batteries.
Because I can't change screens and go back to the other show notes.
Just touch the screen and use your finger.
Yeah, that'll work. The light is flashing. Huh? No, your mouse is for your screen. No, yours has a lightning port. It's a rechargeable mouse. Mine's the one with double A's in it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That one's fine. I just charged that one a couple days ago.
They sell a mouse with a lightning port on it?
The mouse and keyboard now come with... Lightning ports. You got to remember to keep them charged, too.
It's a bad day
when those run out, and they ran out while I was testing something.
It's kind of like you
got
to remember to charge the...
Oh, my God, that's not a mouse. That's a rat.
Yeah. It's a rat. Well, it's got a USB port on it.
Yeah. You got to remember to charge the Apple TV remote, too.
Okay.
So thank you.
Hey, I got it back. Okay, it's back
working.
For a little bit.
It's back working.
It's back. Okay.
For a moment.
So let me play you a little bit of this video. Hopefully we won't get... kicked off by Facebook for a little bit of
I love seeing the avatar go from motionless
he's running around. Yeah, so that's the background music. He kicks the bushes. He kicks a zombie. Ooh. Yeah, every once in a while when he kicks he goes ow, but then
yeah,
ooh, watch. Not that one. This one. It's like a little kid. He yells Michael and...
And then floats away.
Floats away
on like an electric hoverboard or something. I'm not sure what's going on.
That's why this game wasn't released.
I think Clinton ought to review this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He should.
We're not sure what happened. But hey, for $20, you got to wonder what it's worth now.
Yeah.
Want to give a special thank you to our patrons? We'll play our patron music. There. Can't get arrested for this,
Rocket.
I think.
Hopefully not.
Thank you to our special patrons. They get special content for contributing as little as $1 a show. We have some vacancies on the scoreboard. But
my OCD's kicking in because it's a little awkward.
The CDO?
Yeah.
This is brought to you by you. And by you, we mean Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble. No, not that John Noble.
Okay.
Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian.
Steve Theremin.
I can play the Theremin one.
Oh, wow. Gives a whole new meaning to lush arrangement.
And Kyle Nishioka. Thank you very much. Wow.
See what I did giving you that sound?
Steve Therian now has his own theme from henceforth. That's really what's supposed to go at the end when we say, if you want to become a patron, my turn. If you want to become a patron, visit patreon.com/technorama podcast. Vuja Day. None of this should have ever happened before. We appreciate it. Thank you. What just happened?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It feels like there's a record in my head and it keeps skipping.
We joined the show.
Well, that's it. That's
derailed.
We joined the show.
To the Geek Library, then. Ha-ha, you don't have this one.
Yet.
Found on the old Farpoint Media hard drive.
Ha!
Which means it probably came from Digital Juice somewhere. Oh, did we skip over the... We did. We missed the Orville. The Orville. Did you move that?
No, I haven't touched a thing.
Oh, we're in the media corner. How did I jump to the geek library? Well, let's go to the...
Let's go to the media corner and listen to things. We didn't derail it that badly.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And things.
In the media corner.
And things.
And things.
Blade Runner 2049 is coming, and I'm excited to see it.
Yes, absolutely.
Looks like it's going to be good. And if you want to get your face wet on this, you can go.
What?
There's some YouTube.
Your face wet on this?
Well, yes.
What are you trying to say?
Mixing it all up here tonight.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
No two metaphors will be harmed in the making of this show. Yeah.
We didn't get to go to the... Blade Runner experience at Comic-Con.
Oh my God. Line for that was insane.
Really? It was as bad as trying to wait.
It was just out in the sun, too.
It was just some big VR experience that took place in a tent. That's all it was.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm. Anyway. There are a couple of videos if you go to our show notes. One is called 2036 Nexus Dawn. It's a nice short. The director's friend made both of these. I can't remember his name. But 2048, Nowhere to Run is also good. These, I would like to see more of these.
There's actually going to be one more before the movie comes out.
That's right, they said three.
Yeah, there's three of these, and they kind of fill in the gap a little bit.
A little bit of prequels.
Some events between the previous movie and the current one.
I think I've seen Nexus Dawn already.
With the guy standing there with his replica.
Jared Leto was he's blind.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's been out for a while now.
Yep.
Yeah, and the newer one has Dave Bautista in it, and that's
I haven't seen that one yet.
Drax.
Yeah, Drax.
That's where he's in this one, and so they're gonna have another. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on these names, but there's the director that did what's that Bo Peep? What's the anime?
I don't know.
Anime Bo Help Peep. Me.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Little
anyway, there's gonna be an animated short film also.
Animated anime as opposed to a live action anime.
Action anime. Ooh.
I meant an anime style. Remember the Animatrix? Yeah. You ever see the Animatrix?
Ah, like Animatrix. Okay.
Animatrix. Did you see that?
Isn't that the woman with the leather and the whip? And
Bark, man, bark!
No, the Animatrix was a series of anime films that were supposed to kind of accentuate the story under the Matrix. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was right after the Matrix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think they were supposed to serve as prequels.
Yeah, sort of like prequels. Yeah, fill in the blanks a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I would be interested in seeing that too for something like Blade Runner. Mood that the movie kind of sets.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet that after Blade Runner 2049 has been out for a while, they will market yet one more comprehensive box set because you can't have enough copies of the original Blade Runner.
Yeah, well. Hey, we have several copies of Robots of Death and several copies of Hero.
Cowboy Bo Peep. That's what I was trying to think of.
Cowboy Bo Peep.
Sounds like another one of Craig's guilty pleasures.
Yeah. No, I've never seen it, but I just know that.
But he knows the title.
But you know everything about it.
I just know that that's it's an animated film, and... Anyway,
know a lot about
anime.
Something he hasn't watched.
Is that where you snuck off at Dragon Con? Where you went to the panel?
No.
Not so much. Let's talk about the Orville.
The Orville.
Not the popcorn guy. The guy with the airplane.
That's kind of where my mind goes. Is the popcorn dude, Orville Redenbacher?
We should have brought some popcorn just to have it in the studio for this.
Yeah. Has everybody seen the first episode?
Jack back there.
Well, I was just thinking, if maybe there's a sister ship called the Rettenbacher.
Yeah. Or the Wilbur.
Or the Wilbur.
Yeah. Hey, you never know.
All right, initial thoughts.
Gives a whole new meaning to the right stuff.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts about the show?
I liked it.
It was interesting.
I mean, it wasn't as bad as everybody said it was
going to be. I thought it was going to be more sitcom-y stupid jokes. I mean,
there were
some points where I actually loved it just for the pure charm of it.
Yeah.
When they were they said, we got to get across the atrium, and you follow, you know, security commander, blah blah blah. And he goes, now which one was that? I'm having problems remembering names. I'm like, yeah. It adds a sense of realism to the show. Like, yeah. There were certain points where that's exactly what I would have done or yep. said, or Mystery Science Theater, Star Trek at this yeah. point, because everything in life is not that perfect. Now, they did get into the, you know, the ex-wife and marriage thing a little bit too much.
That was a bit heavy-handed, yeah. I'm hoping that now that's the way they resolved that.
Yeah.
You know, especially when we learned that she requested the posting
maybe,
on the ship.
Maybe not. That could come. That's going to come back and blow up in somebody's face.
They're going to obviously address like the fact that they were married. But I'd like to think that the whole bitterness issue is kind of dead and gone now. Because
until
that was
he
too
finds
much.
Out that she got him the job.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I was kind of with you guys. I watched it twice because I was like, okay, I wanted to make sure I was catching everything. So yeah, I like that it has like an older Star Trek-y feel a little bit, and mixed with Galaxy Quest to a degree. I like the aesthetic of it. I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm hoping it's going to be pretty good, especially after a few episodes. You know, the first episode of all of them they're introducing everybody, and there's very little story because they're trying to. You know, you're trying to meet everybody, and mm-hmm. they're trying to set the stage, so to speak. So I'm hoping after the next several episodes, they'll start hitting a stride.
Yeah.
And I like things, by the way. Victor Garber is Admiral Halsey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like,
that's good.
Yeah. I like that also. I think he did a good job with that. The other one that I was just looking up, because I don't remember the actors and characters' names, so let's go to IMDb real quick.
I live on IMDb.
I know. It's the only way I can sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, by the way, there's rumor you're looking Star Trek-related people in the show pop in and out.
Hmm. Yeah. We had a work thing, and they did several things from movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I looked it up on IMDb and they had the wrong answer. And another team won. They looked up a different answer, and had they not gotten that answer and we had the correct answer, we would have won.
Oh.
And I said, you know, I live on IMDb. I know what we're talking about here. And that's exactly, that is the truth.
So does, I hope I say her name right, Adrienne Pilecki.
Okay, she's the ex-wife.
She's the ex-wife, Kelly Grayson. Does she or does she not resemble Jerry Ryan?
A little bit.
I kept seeing Jerry Ryan smile whenever she would give that grin.
I was just watching Voyager. No.
Every time I see Adrienne Pilecki, I'm thinking of Mockingbird from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's who she played.
Okay.
She was Bobby.
Okay.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay. I knew she was very familiar. I just couldn't put two and two together on that one. Right. And I'm usually pretty good at that, going, hey, that's the lady who played that thing on the other thing.
Yeah, actually, exactly. Actually, and you know what you're talking about. That's what the other person says. What?
Donna can attest to that.
I actually really liked her on S.H.I.E.L.D.
I loved her on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, she was
But great. I think I think she's got good chemistry with Seth.
Yeah.
So,
her and Hunter on S.H.I.E.L.D. at first, I was like, I don't know how I feel about these two people, but on S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, I think they ended up working, and I hated that they left the show.
Well, Hunter's coming back, but that's beside the point.
I think I'm about two seasons now behind on S.H.I.E.L.D.
So are we. We're a whole year behind.
I'm at least one, if not two.
You know what? I'm behind also, but everybody kept saying, well, that was great. That was awesome. This is the best.
Yeah, that's what everybody told us too. We just haven't gotten around to it.
I need to catch up now. Yeah, I need to get on
there. It's
because
it started out as such a dog of a show. The bar was pretty low, and they go, oh, that's the best season ever. Well, that makes it a mediocre show. Yeah, oh, this is the best season ever. Okay, we're up to meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Give it another 10 years. It might be good.
So it's like fine wine.
Normally, executives will kill a show for that.
Exactly.
No, instead they kill Agent Carter.
I'm not bitter.
Exactly. No.
Yeah.
All right. The final thing we have in our geek library is a video, slow-mo video, not very long video, considering it's slow. Deadly animals attacking super slow motion. Oh, it's dear. Got crocodiles. It's got chameleons zapping their tongue out at bugs and praying mantis. It's a lot of cool stuff. I like high speed slow mo stuff.
Did you see?
Oh, I love high speed slow mo stuff.
Did you see the meme of the alligator in the grate, and it says "clown gone."
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I did see the one of Roy from the IT crowd looking out from the sewer.
Have you tried turning it off again and then back on?
By the way, the one I posted an image of that on Technorama, on our Technorama Facebook page.
Yeah.
I actually made that one, and then I started seeing other people posting even other
ones.
You
were the progenitor of that meme?
Yeah. Well, somebody else put the IT or IT crowd,
okay.
See, I didn't do that. I just had him in the grate, and I figured somebody would get it, but I will.
Oh, so yes, you're saying Stephen King's book should have really been called IT.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's scarier than any clown.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. But yeah, I made that one on our Facebook page. Yes.
All right, our question of the week this week is, what is the greatest animated show ever?
Ren and Stimpy.
Star Trek TOS. I mean, TAS.
That's right.
T-something. South Park.
Actually, I don't know about ever, but I've got a good one.
Yes.
I think Batman the Animated Series was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Now, are you considering CG animated, or are you talking about
traditional?
Animation.
The traditional one is amazing.
I'm going to have to go classic. I'm still a Bugs Bunny fan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Looney Tunes, yeah. Yeah. I got to give you that.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Chuck Jones and Mel Blanc, that whole crew from the Termite Terrace.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Warner Brothers had it in spades back then.
I think. But if we're talking 1940s, 1950s, that's when it was really amazing. When they went to the 60s and 70s, it really lost its way.
It did.
But the 40s and 50s Looney Tunes, there you can't touch it. It's fabulous.
Tom and Jerry is pretty good.
Early 60s though.
No, I'm talking about the old Tom and Jerry, because back then the animation was so much fluid, even in like for Warner Brothers that we're talking about, and some of the old Tom and Jerry, the animation's so fluid. It's like, how can you beat that with any computer-generated thing?
Yeah, but that this wasn't week, enough to make it great for me because I didn't like the stories.
Yeah, this week is Chuck Jones' birthday.
It is.
Yeah.
You must have just done your show.
We did. We did this morning.
It wasn't. It's not on Wednesday because that's the day I hit.
I know. We have every day, so we do the whole week.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for showing up.
Oh,
pleasure. Just fun.
Just want to throw one thing out that I noticed on.
I'll throw the whole show out. Yeah, what do you want to throw
on Facebook this morning? I noticed that, and we'd talked about this between ourselves, that Apple TV or the Met Opera should put their streaming service on the Apple TV. And he called and said, no, we're not doing that. And then this morning it was posted.
I contacted them over a year ago.
Yeah.
And they said that they had no intentions of marketing their Met Opera channel for the Apple TV. And lo and behold, there it is today.
Yeah,
I know that
on the internet.
As soon as they hung up the phone from you, they went, we got to do this.
Yeah, on the internet, you can purchase an opera for $4.99.
Pay-per-view.
But the service has virtually their entire library. I noticed a couple of operas, the HD operas, Hauke Graha, and a couple of others that are current that were not on the service. But it's $14.99 a month, or it's $149 a year. And you have access to the entire library, and they're going to add more and more.
Are they doing any live streaming?
I don't think they're doing any live streaming.
Because I know that they do some of that. They do some of that. My dad called up Northern Michigan University, which is his alma mater. My wife's in my alma mater. That's where Lisa's going right now. And they do that, but there is a cost associated with it. So if you can't attend, you could go to, say, the Forrest Roberts Theater see it in a theater on the big screen.
Yeah, well... Well, they do live in HD here.
Yeah.
At several of the theaters here.
Oh, seen, okay. Seen,
yeah, so, and that's, yeah. That's all,
same kind of thing.
All part of the deal. Yeah. Now, whether you could actually do that on the streaming service.
And they might offer that
different.
For an extra cost per view. But they've got everything that they've done recently, like I said, other than they didn't have Satyagraha, which was I was really looking for, which is a Philip Glass piece. But everything else, all of the other HD things, there was a couple of others that they don't have up there, and it's probably licensing things.
Mm-hmm.
But every other HD production that they've done in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years is in there.
Pretty much there.
As well as cool. all the PBS stuff that they released years and years ago, and some of the historic broadcasts that they've done, just audio broadcasts. Anyway, so kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, yeah. Good
for upper files.
thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. It's why we hang out. Craig, right. You got any closing comments?
That'd be a no.
You sound like Popeye on our video.
Yeah.
You don't know what we're talking about. We went around and talked to a bunch of cosplayers at DragonCon and asked them ridiculous questions. And when I asked the Popeye cosplayer, what do you see in olive oil? Anyway, and then he gave an answer, but I cut it off because just this hanging indecision was better than the answer.
it was more like, he wasn't really, or you should know what he's interested in.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure where he was going with that. But
All right. We are going to say adieu for one more week.
Yeah.
We will be back. You want to get in touch with us? You know how. 707-530-2428 is the number on the listener line. We haven't heard from a lot of you in a long, long time, and we would very much like to. Technorama at chuckchat.com.
You're overdue.
Your library card is about to expire.
Yes.
Your geek card is about to get detrimented on points.
Well, I'm glad to see you have Joe Hogan.
Detrimented?
Coming.
Joe Hogan will be at, yes, PIY, October 28th. Thank you for one last plug for that. We have lots of great people coming to share lots of wonderful information. I can't say thank you enough to the people who have stepped up. And, hey, $20.
Yeah, hey,
that's
you can't beat that.
Nothing. Nothing. And T and I will be there. And you guys will be there.
You'll be there.
Craig, you're going to be alone by yourself.
You have to come out for it.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Tell them where you can find your show.
At tggeeks.com.
Yay. Here's the ding. Whoops. That's not the ding.
Ow.
That hurt.
Ow. Here's the ding.
Cut off my arm.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Dear old dad. Give me a binary high five, Craig.
A reservoir.
All right. 101.